Great to be with you this morning. I'm excited to share the word of God with you today. I feel like God has given me a word that I think is going to encourage some of you this morning. And I'm just going to tell you right now, if I can preach fast enough, I'm going to have a response at the end. Do you remember how to do an altar call? I'm not sure that I do, but I'm going to try and do that today. So just to get you prepared for that. But I want to begin by asking you a question today. Have you ever had a time in your life if you wondered if you were strong enough? Maybe you're wondering that this morning. I don't know if I'm strong enough. I remember when I was 14 years of age, someone decided at our church youth group that I was attending here at the time that Angela and I should have an arm wrestle. I didn't want to do it because I wasn't sure I was strong enough. I'm 5'7½ right now. I was 5'4" at the time. In fact, my driver's license still says 5'4" because that's how tall I was when I was 16. I had a growth explosion after that. But Angela was 5 inches taller than me at the time, and she was an imposing force. But if I said no, I would look weak and appear weak. So what choice did I really have? And so despite my doubts, I gave it my best shot. I discovered that night that I was not strong enough as Angela pinned my wrist to the table and took my dignity with it. Truthfully, I couldn't lift my arm above my shoulder for a week because I had strained every muscle in my shoulder, trying everything I could to save the dignity that I was losing. Many years later, after we were married, my sister Tracy brought up this painful moment, this painful memory in the basement of my mom's house one day, and she challenged Angela and I to a rematch. You guys should have a rematch, she said. Once again, I had my doubts as to whether I was strong enough, but my mother was there egging me on, questioning my manhood. And so with my sister and mother watching with eager anticipation, I faced Angela in the great rematch. I remember placing my left hand on the coffee table to brace, grabbed Angela's right hand in my wrist, and leaned with all my weight onto my left hand. And as I was pinning her to the table and restoring my dignity, I pushed my left hand right through the glass in a big explosion. My mother was horrified, but what could she say? It was partly her fault. And that day, with my left hand bloody from broken glass, I restored my dignity and discovered I was strong enough. Don't ask us to do it again. I still have my doubts. When I ask this question, I'm actually not referring to physical strength. I'm talking about emotional strength. I'm talking about the strength to endure trial and pain. The strength to endure confusion and disappointment. The strength to stand firm in your faith when everything is shaking around you. You know, the longer I live my life, the more I discover that life is just full of surprises. And a lot of them aren't good surprises. You never know when the day is going to what the day is going to bring and how your life could be changed forever. Life just hits you with unexpected things. What you value today could be gone tomorrow. Health is fragile. Wealth is fragile. Relationships often are fragile. Things just happen that can rattle us right to the core and can cause us to question everything we believe, everything we're doing, and steal our confidence and joy. It seems to me that there are some that experience harder things in life than others, and I don't understand that. But there's no human alive that is immune to the types of situations that I'm describing here this morning. And it's in moments like these where when the answer is revealed to the question, am I strong enough? You know, a few years ago, my dad was experiencing some chest pain. A visit to the doctor and a stress test revealed that his heart was not strong enough and he wasn't going to make it without some intervention. In the same way, it is the stresses in life that reveal to us what is inside of us, that reveal our strength. Without strength in our inner man, I'm going to tell you this morning, you will not do well in life. Truthfully, you will not see God's purposes for your life fulfilled. We have an enemy, Satan himself, who the Bible describes as a lion looking for prey. We know that in the natural, the lion always targets the one who is weak. It is often in these times of weakness and confusion and disappointment that our enemy comes. When he sees vulnerability, he salivates at the opportunity. That's why Peter wrote these words in 1 Peter 5, "Stay alert!" exclamation point. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith, Peter says. Paul, in his closing comments to the Ephesians, wrote these words. A final word, he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil." Church, when you read your scripture, you will see that over and over in scripture, we are challenged to be strong in the Lord, to be strong and courageous. The Bible says in Proverbs 24, verse 10, "If you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your strength?" So how strong are you? Are you strong enough? I know I've had many times in my life where I didn't feel strong enough. In the scriptures, when Samuel was set to proclaim Saul as the first king of Israel, they went looking for Saul and they couldn't find him. He was hiding in the baggage. Many of you have heard me tell of the time right before I was set in to be the lead pastor here at Harvest City Church that I wanted to move away to a place far away where no one knew my name. I wanted to hide. In order to lead, I needed to learn how to be strong and courageous and find a strength that I, quite frankly, didn't feel I had in that moment. I think with King Saul, he was never truly able to get free from his baggage. Fear ultimately destroyed him and limited him. Church, being strong doesn't mean we never have weakness. What it means is that we learn how to find and how to build strength so that we can face the curveballs that life throws at us and overcome our weaknesses. The very fact that the scripture challenges us to be strong implies that we have weakness. But how do we become ones who do not falter in the time of adversity? I want to give you some keys this morning by looking at a story from the life of David where he faced an unexpected challenge and overcame it. In this story, life threw David a curveball, but he stood in there and he smashed that curveball out of the park. He found strength when he was weak. The background of the story that I'm referring to this morning is this. David had been on the run from King Saul for a while. Saul knew that God had chosen David to be the next king of Israel. Saul was not happy about this. He was jealous. He was trying to kill him. To hide from Saul, David eventually was forced to go to the land of Israel's greatest enemies, the Philistines. And he basically swore allegiance to the Philistine king, Achish. I know that's how you pronounce it because I Googled it. Achish gave David the city of Ziklag to live in and gave it to him for his men and for his families. Achish grew to really trust David. But one day the Philistine rulers gathered thousands of their men together and they decided they were going to go and fight Israel. And David and his men were with them marching at the rear. I don't know what David was going to do. Was he really going to fight his own country? But all of the Philistine leaders, apart from Achish, got nervous with David there because they remembered that David had once killed their champion Goliath. They were sure that David would turn on them in the battle. And so Achish told David, "Sorry, buddy, you got to go back to Ziklag." We pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it and they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. We can imagine the scene. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. We see from this story that when David and his men arrived home, they walked into an unexpected catastrophe. Their world had instantly changed. Life had thrown David a curveball. Not only had he lost his wives and his children and all his possessions, but even his closest friends were turning on him. We can only imagine the criticism that he heard as this pain spewed forth from them. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what they said, but I'm sure some of them questioned, what were we doing living here in the land of the Philistines and marching with the Philistines in the first place? Maybe they suggested to David, this is God's judgment on us because of where you've brought us and what we were about to do. Maybe they said to him, we told you we shouldn't have done this. We don't know. What we know is that David was greatly distressed because they were so bitter at him. They were thinking about killing him, stoning him. Everything in David's world was shaking in this moment. I think you would agree. Everything was coming undone. And so the question is, would his faith stand in this time of confusion? Would he get angry and bitter at God? Would he falter in a time of trouble? I want you to notice that it says that David was greatly distressed. David, sometimes we look at him and think he wasn't real. He was real. He was a human with real emotions. Go read the Psalms. He was weak in this moment at this time. But he overcame his weakness and found strength in the Lord. Here's what I feel we can learn from this story. Number one, we need to realize that strength doesn't just come in a moment. When I look at this story and when I see how David responded to it, what I see is that David already had something. He was greatly distressed, but he was not without an anchor. He had a foundation that was already in place. In one of the parables that Jesus told, Jesus talked about two men who built houses. One built on a foundation, the other did not. Luke 6, verse 47, Jesus said, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they're like. They are like a man building a house, which dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. It was built on a foundation. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. The man who built his house on a foundation withstood the storm. The man who had heard the voice of God and put into practice what he had heard was the man who was prepared for the storm." You see, we usually don't know when the storm is coming. It's probably a good thing. But we can prepare for them. If you wait for the storm to hit before you start building a foundation, I'm going to suggest to you it's usually too late. When you read the life of David, you know that he built his foundation as a young boy. David was a worshiper. He was a young man, the scriptures describe, that had a heart after God. He sought the Lord. He learned how to hear the voice of his God, how to depend on him for strength. We see that David grew in maturity in his relationship with the Lord. Church, strength always comes with maturity. In these times, David was building a foundation for his faith. He was learning that he could trust the Lord in every situation. And the evidence of this foundation was clear already, even as a young teenager, when he stood before King Saul about to fight the giant Goliath. Saul said to him in 1 Samuel 17, "You're not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." I like that. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God." You say, where did David get this courage from to face Goliath? He got it in the smaller battles that he had fought and won along the way. In each one, David was building a foundation for his faith. Ziklag caught David completely by surprise. It came right out of left field. Initially, David was distressed by it, greatly distressed. But David was able to withstand what happened at Ziklag because this was not his first rodeo, so to speak. He had already developed a foundation of faith through his pursuit of God, through his previous experiences. His relationship with God was alive and well established. You see, you don't build muscle in one trip to the gym. Muscle is built workout by workout. Spiritual muscle is built the same way. Every time you pray, every time you study, every time you hear the voice of God, every time you face your fear, every battle you win prepares you for the unexpected. You're developing spiritual muscle in those moments. And when the storm hits, you find out you've got a strength that you didn't know you had. If you don't have a vibrant relationship with God before the storm hits, I'm going to tell you, it will be tough to hear his voice, tough to trust his heart, tough to believe he's able to get you through when it does. You know, my father has received a lot of honor for the way he came and helped this church through a crisis in the late 80s. His strength, determination, and wisdom were what this church needed at that time. What many don't know are the details of the smaller battles that my dad faced and my mom faced in Swan River long before Regina. If you know them and hear their stories, you know there was a lion in Swan River. There was a bear in Swan River that they overcame. One of the memories I have from my childhood is how often my dad would go on prayer walks into the bush by our house. It was there where he was growing and building his relationship with Jesus. He was building a foundation of faith. When he stepped into this situation here in Regina where everything was shaking, he was able to lead this church forward because there was already a foundation of faith in his life. You see, I believe that when you've learned how to hear the voice of God in the quiet place, you can recognize his voice in the middle of chaos. Church, I've witnessed people whose faith was shipwrecked in the storm, And I've seen others come through the storm stronger than they went in. I can promise you that often the difference is simply boiled down to their foundation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." You see, Paul had a treasure. He had treasure. He had something inside of this fragile clay pot, a treasure. He had a power that came from God inside of him. His relationship with the Lord was alive. As a result, even when hard-pressed on every side and perplexed by it, he wasn't in despair. Even when he was persecuted, he knew he was not abandoned. You see, many people, when they experience the storms or the persecution, they feel like God's abandoned us. But Paul knew the character of God. He knew that God never leaves us, that God never forsakes us. And this gave Paul a foundation that said, even though I'm perplexed, I'm not in despair. Church, are you strong enough? Are you prepared for the battle? Are you building your spiritual muscle? David would tell you that if you're building a foundation and keeping that foundation in good repair, you'll be able to take the curveballs life throws at you and turn them into home runs. The second lesson we learn from the story is this. We need to realize that our strength is our responsibility. Our strength is our responsibility. We read earlier the scripture said about David, but David found strength in the Lord his God. The New King James Version translates the verse this way, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. You know, in a crisis, it is great to have other people around you to give you strength. That's a message in itself. But at the end of the day, we need to realize that ultimately finding strength is our responsibility. You see, church, you can't lead other people effectively if you haven't learned how to lead yourself. You can't lead others through the storm if you can't lead yourself in a storm. Before David would try to lead the men who were devastated and bitter into a better place, he had to get his own heart and his own perspective right. If he was going to give strength, he had to first find it himself. This verse implies initiative. It implies a deliberate attitude choice. When I read this story, I see a man who refused to be a victim. I see a man who chose to rise up. He could have gotten bitter at the men who were bitter at him. He could have gotten bitter at God. He could have had a pity party, but he chose a different response. You see, we can't choose whether a crisis comes, but we can always choose our response to the crisis. And sometimes I've discovered that we have to pick ourselves up by the scruff of the neck and drag our bodies off of the mat and say, get back in this game. When the last thing you feel like doing is praying, worshiping, giving thanks, and moving towards God, do you have the ability to lead yourself past your emotions and get into the presence of God? If you can, you can find the strength you need. And you can go forward. The third and final lesson we learn from the story is this. We need to realize where our strength comes from. The scriptures are clear that David strengthened himself in the Lord. On his own, I'll tell you, David was not strong enough. But he knew where the source of the greatest strength was found. David knew that there was a place that he could run to where he could make a great exchange. And that place was the feet of Jesus. We always admire, at least I do, the strength that Paul had. He seems almost superhuman. But Paul understood the very same thing that David understood. Paul knew where ultimate strength came from. He knew there was a place to exchange weakness for power. Paul wrote about it beautifully when describing a time of great struggle. He said in 2 Corinthians, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness, Paul. And you see that Paul learned something in this whole exchange. He said, so now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. There was a time in my life when I was begging God to take away my troubles, but not anymore. Now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul realized that he didn't need God to take away his struggle and that he didn't need to worry about whether he had enough strength of his own. In fact, he honestly said, I don't have enough strength. But what he realized is that he could give God his weakness and exchange it for supernatural strength. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. That's a great exchange. You see, there are some things in this life that quite simply are too big for us to carry. We don't have the strength. And trying to carry them is killing us because we're not strong enough. So Jesus says, you don't have to carry those things. Bring them to me. Let me help you carry them. I have something to give you. Rest. I have a yoke for you that is one you can carry. It's easy to bear. David wrote these words in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your cares on the Lord. It's like a fishing rod. Cast, throw them on the Lord, and he will sustain you. David said this, he will never let the righteous be shaken. When you learn how to cast your cares on the Lord, you become unshakable. Church, we don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to be super Christians. What we need to have is a living relationship with Jesus. We need a foundation. We need to take responsibility for our strength, and we need to know where the source of it is found. I love this part of the story. I'll end with this. As David turned to the Lord to strengthen himself in the Lord, he realized, I just need a word from God. I can't tell you how many times in times of weakness and struggle where I said, God, I just need to hear your voice. I just need a word. I just need to know that you're with me. I just need to know that we're still good. David says to the priest, bring me the ephod. I need a word. I need to hear the voice of God. He says, Lord, should I go after this band of raiders? In other words, are you still with me? Will I catch them? The Lord says to him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you, exclamation point. Cool, David, I'm still with you. It's not over yet. It's not the end of the story. There's another chapter still to be written. I'm still on your steam, David. When David turned to the Lord, he discovered God still had a plan. God was still with him. Life wasn't over. And now, because David had exchanged his weakness for God's supernatural strength, he was ready to lead others out of the strength that he had. He rallies the very men who were bitter against him. Verse 16 tells us the end of the story. They found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. They were in for a surprise. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout the night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. He rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all the flocks and herds, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock, and now they're cheering on David. This plunder belongs to David, they said. David took that curveball. He smashed it over the wall, hit a home run. In fact, the scripture tells us that he had so much plunder that he sent it as gifts to all the cities that they had taken in his men. Church, this is what God wants to do for us. He can turn our curveballs into home runs. He can give us strength we didn't even think we had. In fact, we didn't have it. That's why Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Why don't you stand to your feet this morning? It's been a long time since we had an altar call in this church. But I feel today we need to have one. I feel like that there are those of you here this morning. You're at the end. Maybe you came in this morning thinking, I don't know if I'm strong enough for what I'm facing in my life today. I don't know if I can go on. I'm right at the edge. And I feel like this altar this morning is symbolically going to be a place of great exchange, where you're just going to come and say, Jesus, here's the cares I've been trying to carry. Here's this burden. I'm exhausted. I've been trying to carry it and I can't. Believe this morning that there's an exchange in the spirit that God wants to do in some of your lives, where he gives you his rest, gives you his yoke, which is light. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, everything is shaking around me. I need to shore up my foundation. I need a word from the Lord. I just need to hear his voice. We want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you're watching online and you can't respond with us today. Maybe you just need to kneel beside your couch or your bed and meet with the Lord. He's there. He's present in a time of trouble. So why don't you come this morning? As Andrew prays, I'm going to lead you in prayer. And I know we got some people here that are ready to pray for you. Do you need to come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Let God do what he wants to do in your life today. Push through. Thank you, Jesus. Just keep coming as Andrew prays this morning. I don't know if we have a prayer team anymore, but let's make one. If you know these people, if you're a house church leader, prophetic person, pastoral, why don't you just come and just lay your hands on them. If you know you need to come, then come. The treasure that I seek, you are my all in all. Let's just stretch our hands towards the Lord. Let's make that exchange this morning. Jesus, we come to you today. We come weak. Come weary, we come confused, perplexed. But Lord, we come to you because we know at your feet, we can make an exchange. We know that there's a grace available that can turn our weakness into the supernatural strength of God. Father, I pray today for who's ever watching and who's ever here today. You know what's going on in their lives. God, I pray right now by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would infuse your supernatural strength. I pray in the Spirit that there would just be a divine download of kingdom power, kingdom ability, supernatural ability in Jesus' name. God, I pray where the enemy is whispering and shouting his lies of discouragement and defeat and despair, that in the midst of the voices of the enemy, that the voice of God would begin to cut through like a knife. Father, for those that need a word, would you speak right into their spirits this morning? Would you speak hope? Would you speak faith? Would you speak courage? Would you speak purpose? Would you speak vision? There's some here that have just like almost given up on the future. It's like I just can't even find vision for my life this morning. Just believe the Lord wants to speak vision, fresh dreams. Wants to awaken purpose within you. There's a voice in the Spirit that's just crying out, arise, get up, be strong. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you don't let the righteous be shaken. Thank you, Lord, that we could cast our cares upon you because you care for us. So here they are, Lord. Strengthen your people.